Sherlock Holmes. We present Sherlock Holmes, or The Strange Case of Miss Alice Faulkner, by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and William Gillette, adapted in two parts by Roger Johnson. Part 1. The Napoleon of Crime.
Yes, Bea, what is it?
Mrs. Hudson's compliments, Mr. Holmes, and she wants to know if she can see you.
Where is Mrs. Hudson?
Well, downstairs in the back kitchen, sir.
My compliments, and I don't think she can, from where she is.
She says it was terribly important, sir, as she wants to know what you'll have for your breakfast in the morning.
The same.
Same as when, sir?
This morning.
Well, you didn't have nothing, sir. He wasn't here. Well,
they won't be here tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Dr. Watson, sir. You told me as I could always show him up.
Well, I should think so. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Watson, sir.
Watson, my dear fellow.
How are you, Holmes?
I'm delighted to see you, my dear fellow. But I'm sorry to observe that your wife has left you.
She has gone on a little visit, but how did you know?
How do I know? Dear me, Watson, how do I know anything? How do I know that you've gone into practice again without telling me a word about it? How do I know that you've been getting yourself very wet lately? That you have an extremely careless servant girl and that you've moved your dressing table to the other side of the room.
Holmes, if you'd lived a few centuries ago, they'd have burned you alive. How did you know all that?
Too simple to talk about. Scratches and cuts on the side of your left boot, just there where the fire strikes it. Somebody scraped away crusted mud and did it badly. That's your wet feet and careless servant all on one foot. Face badly shaved on the right side. Used to be on the left. Light must come from the other side. Couldn't well move your window. Must have moved your dressing table.
Yes, of course. But my medical practice, I don't see how...
Now, Watson, you walk into my room fairly reeking of iodoform, with the black mark of nitrate of silver on your right forefinger and a bulge in the side of your top hat to show where you secreted your stethoscope.
Very well, but how the deuce did you know my wife was away and...
Well, where the deuce is your second waistcoat button? And what the deuce is yesterday's carnation doing in today's lapel? And why the deuce do you... Ah, oh, elementary. The child's play of deduction.
Holmes, are you still injecting yourself with...
Cocaine, occasionally. A 7% solution. Would you like to try some?
Certainly not. I have no wish to break my system down before its time.
Quite right, my dear Watson. Quite right. But you see, my time has come.
Holmes, I really hoped I'd weaned you off these drugs. When they lay hold of you, there is no end. It must go on and on until the finish.
So must you go on and on, eating your breakfast until the finish.
Breakfast is food. These drugs are poisons, slow but certain. They involve tissue changes of the most serious nature.
Just what I want. I'm bored to death with my present tissues. I'm trying to get a brand new lot.
Holmes, I'm trying to save you.
No, you can't do it, old fellow, so don't waste your time. Now, sit down and have a cigar. I'm sure you want to hear how matters are progressing in the case of the compromising letters.
Ah.
Yes, you should know me better than to think that I should need artificial stimulants when I'm working.
Hmm.
And I have been working hard. For nearly 14 months. Not on the Faulkner case, that's a relatively straightforward affair. But on the case of Professor Moriarty.
Moriarty? I don't recollect the name.
No! There's the genius and the wonder of the thing. The man pervades London. And yet no one has heard of him. He is the Napoleon of crime, Watson. Sitting motionless like an ugly, venomous spider in the centre of his web. But that web having 1,000 radiations, and the spider knowing every quiver of every one of them.
Really? This is very interesting.
And very shortly, the professor will begin to realise his position. By 10 o'clock tomorrow night, the time will be ripe for the arrests. Then, the greatest criminal trial of the century, the clearing up of over 40 mysteries, and the rope for every one.
And what will he do when he does realise his position?
Do? He will do me the honour, my dear Watson, of turning every resource of his wonderful organisation of criminals to the one purpose of my destruction.
Holmes, this is dangerous.
Oh, my dear Watson, it's perfectly delightful. It saves me any number of doses of those chemical substances upon which you occasionally favour me with your medical views. My whole life is spent in a series of endeavours to escape from the dreary commonplaces of existence. For a brief period, I escape. You should congratulate me.
Well... And what of the case of Miss Alice Faulkner? Did you manage to get your man Foreman into the house as butler?
Yes, Foreman was in as butler.
Then what has transpired?
Much. Let me tell you of yesterday's events. A couple calling themselves Mr. and Miss Chetwood have rented a house in Norrington Road, Camberwell. Not a very nice part of Camberwell. It's called Edelweiss Lodge, and at first glance it is not unattractive, but that impression is quickly supplanted by one of gloom and decay.
Pardon, ma'am, but the maid Therese wishes to speak with you.
Tell her to wait till tomorrow.
I asked her to do that, ma'am, and she said that she would not be here tomorrow.
Then tell her I will see her. Oh, Foreman, what made you think that I would be interested in this marriage announcement?
I could hardly help it, ma'am.
I suppose you have overheard certain references to the matter between myself and my brother. We know the parties concerned and are naturally interested in the event. Of course, you do not imagine there is anything more.
Certainly not, ma'am. Anyway, if I did imagine there was something more, I'm sure you'd find it to your interest, ma'am, to remember my faithful service in helping to keep it quiet.
Foreman, what sort of fool are you?
Ma'am?
Do you imagine I would take a house and bring this girl here and keep up the establishment for nearly 2 years without protecting myself against the chance of petty blackmail by my own servants?
Ma'am, you misunderstand me.
I understand you too well. And now I beg you to understand me. When you applied for the post of butler here, it was quite evident from your behaviour you had been in something yourself. And it didn't take me long to get it out of you. You are a self-confessed forger.
No, don't speak out like that. It was in confidence. I told you in confidence, ma'am.
Well, I'm telling you in confidence that at the first sign of any underhand conduct on your part, this little episode of yours will very...
Yes, I will bear it in mind, ma'am. I will bear it in mind.
Very well. Now, as to the maid, Therese, why does she say that she will not be here tomorrow?
I think, ma'am, that she may have taken exception to some occurrences which she thinks she has seen going on in this house.
Tell her I'll raise her wages. If it isn't money that she wants, send her to me. Now go.
Very well, ma'am.
Nothing.
All alone, Jim? Didn't you find Sid?
No. He wasn't there. That's no good, Madge. The damn safe won't open. We'll have to get a locksmith in.
We can't do that. It isn't wise.
We've got to do something, haven't we? I wish to God I knew a bit about these things. There's no time to waste either. They've put Holmes on the case.
Holmes? Oh, can't you think of someone else, as we can't find Sid?
He may turn up yet. I left word with Billy Rounds. He's on the hunt for him. Oh, it's damnable. After holding on for 2 good years just for this, and now the time comes, she's blocked us. Look here, Madge. I'll just get at her for a minute. I have an idea I can change her mind.
All right, Jim, but remember, nothing that'll show no marks.
I'll look out for that.
Therese, come in here.
Madame.
Now, what do you want?
I do not wish longer to remain.
But why? You must give me some reason.
It is that I wish to go.
You've been here months, Therese, and have made no complaint.
Ah, madame, it is not so before. It is now beginning that I do not like...
What? What is it you do not like?
I do not like it, madame. It, here, this place, what you do. The young lady you have up there... I cannot remain to see. It is not well. I cannot remain to see.
You know nothing about it. The young lady is ill. She is not right in the head. She is a great trouble to us, but we take every care of her and treat her with the utmost kindness. Don't be alarmed. The young lady's head is bad today. She'll be better soon. I'll speak to you in the morning, Therese.
She's made it quite satisfactory, I suppose.
Monsieur Foreman.
You will not leave her now?
Leave her now? Oh, more than ever. I can find another place. It is not so difficult.
Not if you know where to go. Here, take this card. Go to that address. Don't let anyone see it.
Mr. Sherlock...
Shh. Go to that address in the morning. Get below stairs.
Coming. Coming.
Don't waste time, you fool. Tell him Mr. Sidney Prince, Esquire, is here.
Certainly, sir. I'll announce you immediately, sir.
Ah, oh, this must be it. Uh-huh.
Sid, is that you? Thank God you've come.
Hello, Sid. Did you get my note?
Well, I'm here, ain't I? That's what it is, I take it. The safe.
Yes. We're awfully glad you turned up, Sid. We might have had to get in some stranger to do it.
Oh, that would be nice now, wouldn't it? I say, Larrabee...
Shut up, for heaven's sake, Sid. Remember, my name is Chetwood here.
Oh, beg your pardon, my mistake.
All right, Sid. But can't you open that box for us now? We've no time to lose.
Open it? I should say I could. He's one of those things that'll fall open if you let it alone long enough. He's an old-timer and no mistake. You're not robbing yourselves, I trust.
It does look a little like it.
Oh, I knew he was on some rum lay, squatting down in this place for over a year. But I never could seem to get a line on you. What do we get here? Oof, I trust?
Sorry to disappoint you, but it isn't.
Only a bundle of papers, Sid.
Well, whatever it is, I'm in it, I hope.
Why, of course, Sid. Whatever you think is due for opening the box.
Fair enough. But if I'm in this, I want to know what I'm in.
Why don't you tell him, Jimmy?
All right, Madge. Now, Sid, you know we've been working at the Continent. Pleasure places and all that.
So I've heard.
It was over there, at Homburg. We ran across a young girl who'd been having trouble. Sister just died, no parents. Madge took hold and found that this sister of hers had been having some kind of love affair with a... well... with a foreign gentleman of exceedingly high rank.
A foreign gentleman? Oh, how much was there to it?
Promise of marriage.
Broke it, of course.
Yes, and her heart with it. She and her child died together.
Oh, dead.
Yes, but the case isn't. There are letters, photographs, jewellery with inscriptions that he gave her. The sister's been keeping them, and we've been keeping the sister. You see?
And what's her little game?
To get even.
And your little game?
Whatever there is in it.
Oh, these papers and things ought to be worth a little something.
It wouldn't be safe for him to marry until he gets them out of the way. He knows it very well, but what's more, the family knows it.
Oh, family. Rich, I take it.
Rich isn't quite the word, Sid. There's something else.
You don't mean...
The King of Bohemia.
My God, really? Well, we are moving among the swells now, ain't we? But this here girl, the sister of the one that died, how did you manage to get her into it?
I picked her up, of course, and sympathised and consoled. I invited her to stay with me at my house in London. Jimmy came over and took this place, and when I brought her along a week later, it was all ready, and a private desk safe for the letters and jewellery.
Yes, combination lock and all. Everything worked smooth until a couple of weeks ago, when we began to hear from a firm of London solicitors. Some veiled proposals were made, which showed that the time was coming. They wanted the things out of the way. Suddenly, all negotiations on their side stopped. The next thing for me to do was threaten. I needed the letters for that, but when I went to get them, I found that in some way the girl had managed to change the lock on us. The numbers were wrong, and we couldn't frighten or starve her into opening the thing.
Oh, well, it won't take long to rectify that trifling error. But what gets me is why they broke off with their offers that way. Can you make head or tail of that?
It's simple enough. They've given it up themselves and have got in Sherlock Holmes on the case.
What's that? Is Holmes on this?
That's what they told me.
But what can he do, Sid? We haven't broken the...
Yeah, don't stand talking about that. I'll get the box open. Jim, you send a telegram. Sharp now. This is to Alf Bassick. He's Professor Moriarty's confidential man. Moriarty's king of them all in London. He runs everything that's shady. Holmes has been setting lines all round him for months, and he didn't know it. And now he's beginning to find out that Holmes is tracking him down. And there's the devil to pay. He wants any cases Holmes is on. It's a dead fight between them. He'll take the case just to get at Holmes. He'll kill him before he's finished with him. You can lay all you've got on it. Now, run to your nearest telegraph office. Mind what I say? Run for it. Well, don't take all night over it. You can't tell what might happen.
Go on, Jim.
Keep your eyes open, Madge.
Don't you worry. I've heard of this Professor Moriarty.
If you haven't, you must have been out in the woods.
What does he do?
I'll tell you what he does. He sits at home, quiet and easy, and runs nearly every big operation that's on. All the clever boys are under him one way or another, and he holds them in his hand without moving a muscle. And if there's a slip and the police get wind of it, there ain't never any hold on him. They can't touch him. And what's more, they wouldn't want to if they could.
Why not?
Because they've tried it, that's why. And the men as did try it was found shortly after afloating in the river. That is, if they was found at all. The moment a man's marked, there ain't a street that's safe for him. Not a street nor an alley. And he'll come into anything that gives him a chance at Sherlock Holmes.
Well, I've sent the telegram. How goes it, Sid?
Almost there.
About this Professor Moriarty?
Ask her.
It's all right, Jim. It was the proper thing to do. Gone?
She's taken him out.
What do you mean?
The girl.
How can you tell if she hasn't done the trick already?
What's that?
She wants to get even, you say?
Yes, yes.
Well then, if she's got the thing out of the box there, ain't it quite likely she sent him along to the girl as he wants to marry?
No. She couldn't get them out of this room. We've watched her too close for that.
Here. I'll get her down. She'll tell us where they are. Strangle for it. You wait here. When I get her in, don't give her time to think.
Look here, Madge. I don't so much fancy this sort of thing.
Don't you worry. We'll attend to it.
Now, tell her what we want.
You needn't tell me. I know well enough. Oh, no, dear. You don't know. It isn't anything about locks or keys or numbers this time. We want to know what you've done with the papers.
You will not know from me.
We will know from you, and we'll know before...
Wait, Jim.
I tell you, they're in this room. She couldn't have got them out, but I'm going to make her...
No, let me speak to her first. Don't you think, Alice, dear, it's about time to remember that you owe us a little consideration? Wasn't it something, just a little something, that we found you alone and ill in Homburg and befriended you? Wasn't it something that we brought you across to England with us, that we kept you here in our own home and supported and cared
for you? So that you could rob me.
My dear child, you have nothing of value. That package of letters wouldn't bring you sixpence.
Then why do you want it? Why do you persecute me and starve me to get it? All your friendship to me was a pretense, a sham. It was only to get what you wanted from me when the time came.
Why, we have no idea of such a thing.
I don't believe you.
Well, believe me, then. You're going to tell us what you've done with that package before you leave this room tonight.
Not if you kill me.
Tell us where it is. Tell us and he'll stop.
Out with it!
Be careful, Jimmy.
Is this any time to be careful? I tell you, we've got to get it out of her, and we'll do it too. Will you tell? Will you tell? Will you...
Look out!
Foreman!
Sir?
Don't answer that. Madge, see who it is.
A tall, thin man in a long coat, soft hat, smooth face, carries an ebony cane.
Sherlock Holmes! It's Sherlock Holmes.
We won't answer the bell.
Oh, now that won't do, you know. Looks crooked at the start.
Sid's right. We'll have to let him in. It's come the easy innocent.
Oh, what about the girl?
Get her away. Quick, Madge.
Take her up the servant stairs.
She's in poor health and can't see anyone. You understand?
Yes, yes. Lock her in the room and stay by the door. Sid, you slip out the window round to the front. Quietly. Be ready for Holmes when he comes out. If he's got the things in spite of us, I'll give you 2 sharp whistles. If you don't hear it, let him pass.
But if I do hear the 2 whistles...
Then let him have it. All right, foreman. Go on. Answer the bell.
Yes, sir. Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Mr. Holmes, whom did you wish to see?
Thank you so much. I sent my card by the butler.
Oh, very well.
Miss Faulkner begs Mr. Holmes to excuse her. She is not well enough to see anyone this evening.
Give Miss Faulkner my card and say that I have...
I beg your pardon, Mr. Holmes, but it's quite useless, really.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear it.
Yes, Miss Faulkner is, I regret to say, quite an invalid. She is unable to see anyone. Her health is so poor.
Did it ever occur to you that she might be confined to the house too much?
How does that concern you?
It doesn't. I simply made the suggestion. That's all, my man. Go on, take it up.
Yes, sir.
Why, of course he can take your card if you wish it so much. I was only trying to save you the trouble.
Thanks. It's no trouble to send a card.
Do you know, Mr. Holmes, you interest me very much. We've all heard of your wonderful methods, your marvellous insights. Your ingenuity in picking up and following clues, and the astonishing manner in which you gain information from the most trifling details. Now, I dare say, in the brief moment or two you've discovered any number of things about me.
Nothing of consequence, Mr. Chetwood. I have scarcely more than asked myself why you rushed off and sent that telegram in such a frightened hurry. What possible excuse you could have had for gulping down that tumbler of raw brandy at the Lion's Head on the way back? Why your red-haired friend left so suddenly by the terrace window? And what there can possibly be about the safe in the lower part of that desk to cause you such painful anxiety?
Very good. Very good indeed. If those things were only true now, I'd be wonderfully impressed. It would be absolutely...
Excuse me, sir?
Yes, foreman? Ah! A note from Miss Faulkner. She begs to be allowed to see Mr. Holmes. She absolutely implores it. Well, I suppose I shall have to give way. Foreman?
Sir?
Ask Miss Faulkner to come down to the drawing room. Say that Mr. Holmes is waiting to see her.
Yes, sir.
It's quite remarkable, upon my soul. May I ask, if it's not an impertinent question, what message you sent up that could have so aroused Miss Faulkner's desire to come down?
Merely that if she wasn't down here in 5 minutes, I'd go up.
Oh, that was it.
Quite so. And unless I am greatly mistaken, I hear the young lady on the stairs, in which case she has 1.5 minutes to spare.
Ah, Alice, or that is Miss Faulkner. Let me introduce Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Mr. Holmes.
Miss Faulkner.
I'm really most charmed to meet you, although it does look as if you had made me come down in spite of myself, doesn't it? But it isn't so at all, Mr. Holmes. I was more than anxious to come, only the doctor has forbidden me seeing anyone. But when Cousin Freddy said I might come, of course that fixed the responsibility on him. So I have a perfectly clear conscience.
I thank you very much for consenting to see me, Miss Faulkner, but regret that you were put to the trouble of making such a very rapid change of dress.
Yes, I did hurry a trifle, I confess. Mr. Holmes is quite living up to his reputation, isn't he, Freddy?
Yes, but he didn't quite live up to it a moment ago.
Oh, didn't he? I'm so sorry.
No. He's been telling me the most astonishing things.
And they weren't true?
Well, hardly. He wanted to know what there was about the safe in the lower part of that desk that caused me such horrible anxiety.
Why, there isn't anything, is there, Freddy?
Nothing at all. See? There's a safe there. There's nothing in it.
Perhaps you'll do better next time, Mr. Holmes. What do you make of me, for instance?
It is very easy to discern one thing about Miss Faulkner, and that is that she is particularly fond of the piano. While she likes light music very well, she is extremely fond of some of the great masters, including Chopin and Liszt. She plays a great deal. Indeed, I say it is her chief diversion, which makes it all the more remarkable that she has not touched the piano for 3 days.
Why? That's quite surprising, isn't it, Freddy?
Certainly better than you did for me.
I am glad to somewhat repair my shattered reputation. And as a reward, will Miss Faulkner be so good as to play me one of Chopin's nocturnes?
Oh, yes, I shall be delighted.
It will please me so much.
But tell me, Mr. Holmes, how did you know so much about my playing?
Your hands.
And my preference for the composers you mentioned?
Your music rack.
Oh, how simple. But you said I hadn't played for 3 days. How did you know?
The keys. The light layer of dust.
Dust? Oh, dear. I never knew Therese to forget before. You must think us very untidy, I'm sure.
Not at all. It is clear that you are not untidy in the least, and therefore I must conclude that the failure of Therese is due to something else.
What?
To some unusual excitement or disturbance that has recently taken place in this house.
You're doing very well, Mr. Holmes, and you deserve your Chopin.
Thank you.
What are you doing here, Foreman?
I came to see what was wanted, ma'am.
What was wanted?
Nobody asked you to come here.
I beg pardon, sir. I answered the bell.
What bell?
The drawing-room bell, sir.
What do you mean, blockhead?
I'm quite sure it rang, sir.
Well, I tell you, it did not ring.
Your butler is right, Mr. Chetwood. The bell did ring.
How do you know?
I rang it.
You... What do you want?
I want to send my card to the real Miss Faulkner.
The real Miss...
What right have you to ring for servants and give orders in my house?
What right have you to prevent my cars from reaching their destination? And how does it happen that you and this woman are resorting to trickery and deceit to prevent me from seeing Alice Faulkner? Through some trifling oversight, Foreman, neither of the cards I handed to you have been delivered. See that this error does not occur again.
My orders, sir.
Ah, you have orders.
I can't say, sir, as I...
You were told not to deliver my card.
What business is this of yours, I'd like to know? It wouldn't be any trouble at all for me to throw you out into the street.
Possibly not, but trouble would swiftly follow.
It's a damned lucky thing for you I'm not armed, Mr. Busybody Holmes.
Yes, well, when Miss Faulkner comes down, you can go and arm yourself.
Arm myself? I'll call the police. And what's more, I'll do it now.
You will not do it now. You will remain where you are until the lady I came here to see has entered this room.
What makes you so sure of that?
Because you will infinitely prefer to avoid an investigation of your very suspicious conduct, Mr. James Larrabee. As for you, my man, it gives me great pleasure to recall the features of an old acquaintance. Your recent connection with the signing of another man's name on a cheque has made your presence at Bow Street much desired. You will deliver that card to Miss Faulkner at once, or you will sleep in the police station tonight. It is a matter of small consequence to me, which you do.
Shall I go, sir?
Go on, Foreman. Take up the card. It makes no difference to me.
If she comes down, can't he get the papers from her?
If he does, Sid Prince is waiting for him outside.
Mr. Holmes?
I am Sherlock Holmes. A short time since, you displayed an acute anxiety to leave the room, Mr. Larrabee. Pray do not let me detain you or your wife any longer. No? Very well.
You wished to see me, Mr. Holmes?
Very much indeed, Miss Faulkner. But I am sorry to see that you are far from well.
Oh, no.
No? I beg your pardon, but what do these marks on your wrist mean?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing? And the mark here on your neck, plainly showing the clutch of a man's fingers, does that mean nothing also? Perhaps you can explain it, Mr. Larrabee.
How should I know?
It seems to have occurred in your house.
What if it did? You'd better understand that it isn't healthy for you or anyone else to interfere with my business.
Ah, then it is your business. We have that much at least.
I don't know who you are, Mr. Holmes, or why you are here.
I shall be very glad to explain. My name and address, as well as the announcement of my profession, are printed upon the card, which I observe is still clasped tightly in your left hand.
A detective?
Quite so. I have been consulted as to the possibility of obtaining from you certain letters and other things which are supposed to be in your possession, and which, I need not tell you, are the source of the greatest anxiety.
It is quite true. I have such letters, Mr. Holmes, but it would be impossible to get them from me. Others have tried and failed.
What others may have done cannot affect my conduct, Miss Faulkner. I have come to you frankly and directly to beg you to pity and forgive.
There are some things, Mr. Holmes, beyond pity, beyond forgiveness.
But there are other things that are not. I can assure you of the sincere penitence, the deep regret of the one who inflicted the injury, and of his earnest desire to make any reparation in his power.
How can reparation be made to the dead?
How indeed? And for that very reason, whatever injury you yourself may inflict by means of these things can be no reparation to the one no longer here. You will be acting for the living, not the dead. For your own satisfaction, Miss Faulkner. Your own gratification. Your own revenge.
I know, from this and from other things that have happened, that a marriage is contemplated.
It is quite true.
I cannot give up what I intend to do, Mr. Holmes. There are other things beside revenge. There is punishment. If I am not able to prevent this marriage, then the punishment will come later. But you may be perfectly sure it will come. There is nothing more to say. Good night, Mr. Holmes.
But, my dear Miss Faulkner, before you...
Hey!
What's that?
Mr. Chetwood!
What is it?
The lamp in the kitchen, sir. It fell off the table and everything down there is blazing, sir.
Oh, the house is on fire!
We must get out of here. Come on!
Don't alarm yourself, Miss Faulkner. There is no fire. The smoke was all arranged for by me.
No fire? What does it mean, Mr. Holmes?
It means that I wanted the package that was hidden in the upholstery of this chair, Miss Faulkner.
No.
I won't take them, Miss Faulkner. As you may have guessed, the alarm of fire was only to make you betray their hiding place by your actions, which you did. But now that I witness your great distress, I find that I cannot keep them. Unless you can possibly change your mind and let me have them of your own free will. No, I hardly suppose you could. I will, therefore, return them to you. Well, well, Mr. and Mrs. Larrabee, welcome back.
So, you've got them, have you? And now, I suppose we're going to see you walk out of the house with them.
On the contrary, you're going to see me return them to their rightful owner.
Yes, I think that'll be the safest thing, Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Don't flatter yourself, Mr. Larrabee. The reason I do not leave the house with the papers is not because of you or your revolver. It's on account of this young lady. Your cheap bravado does not impress me. Miss Faulkner, permit me to place this in your hands. Should you ever change your mind and be so generous, so forgiving as to wish to return these letters to the one who wrote them, you have my address. In any event, rest assured there will be no more cruelty now. No more persecution in this house. You are perfectly safe with your property, for I shall so arrange it that your faintest cry of distress will be heard, and it will be a very unfortunate thing for those who are responsible. Good night, Miss Faulkner. As for you, sir, and you, madam, I beg you to understand that you continue your persecution of that young lady at your peril.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. I believe I shall retire to my room.
Good evening.
Well, he didn't get it, did he?
He got it, but he gave it to her.
What? He gave it to the girl? Well, what are you waiting for? Now's the chance, before she hides it again.
No, wait.
What's the matter? Jim, do you want to lose it?
No, you're right. It's all a damn bluff.
No, Jim.
I tell you we will. Now's our chance to get hold of it.
Well, I should say so.
What's that?
Someone at the door.
No, it was on that side.
Ma'am?
I think someone knocked, Foreman.
I beg pardon, ma'am. There's no one at the door.
That's all.
He's got us watched. What we want to do is leave it alone and let the professor have it.
Do you mean Professor Moriarty?
That's who I mean. Once let him get at it and he'll settle it with Holmes pretty quick. Meet me at Leary's, Jim. 9 sharp in the morning. Don't you worry. I'll tell you the professor will get it in before tomorrow night. He don't wait long neither, and when he strikes, it means death.
And that was last night?
Just so.
What has happened since?
Enter.
I beg you to pardon me, sir. The boy is said to ascend as soon as I come.
Oh, quite right. Come in, mademoiselle.
Ah, I fear me there is trouble, monsieur. The butler, your assistant, the one who sent me to you.
The foreman.
Him, foreman. There is something done to him. I fear to go down to see.
Down where?
Down in the cellar. Oh, it is dark and dreadful. He did not come back. He went down. He did not return.
You sent him down?
Monsieur of the house. Monsieur Chetwood.
Chetwood. Ha! James Larrabee. Continue, mademoiselle.
Foreman went down the stairs. All was silent. And then, oh, mon Dieu, the dreadful noise.
So what noise? What did it sound like?
A blow and a cry. The cry of a man who is struck down.
Ah, Billy. Coat, boots, and order a cab. Quick.
Yes, sir.
Did anyone follow him down?
I did not see.
Here, sir.
Thank you, Billy. The cab. Take this revolver, Watson, and come with me.
Should I not go also?
No, mademoiselle. Wait here. Ah, I think I hear Foreman coming now.
Oh, mon Dieu.
Well, Foreman?
Nothing more last night, sir. After you left, Prince came in and they made a start for a room to get the package away. But I gave the three knocks with an axe on the floor beams as you directed, and they didn't go any further. And then this morning, a little after nine...
Oh, one moment.
Yes, sir?
Mademoiselle, kindly step into that room and rest yourself.
But I am not tired, monsieur.
Step in and walk about, then. I'll let you know when you are required.
Oui, monsieur.
Take a look at his head, Watson.
An ugly bruise, but not dangerous.
Very well. At a little after nine, you say?
Yes, sir. This morning, a little after nine, Larrabee and his wife drove away, and they returned about 11 without him. A little later, old Schneider came, and the two went to work in the library. I got a look at them from outside and found they were making up a counterfeit of the package we're working for. You'll have to watch out for some sharp trick, sir.
They'll have to watch for the trick, my dear foreman. And Larrabee, what of him?
Oh, he came back a little after three.
How did he seem?
Very excited about something, sir.
Any marked resentment towards you?
I think there was, sir, though he tried not to show it.
He has consulted someone outside. Was the Larrabee woman's behaviour different also?
But now I come to think of it, she gave me an ugly look as she came in.
An ugly look. She was present at the consultation. They were advised to get you out of the way. He sent you into the cellar on some pretext. You were attacked in the dark by two men, possibly three, and received a bad blow from a blackjack. You managed to strike down one of your assailants with a stone or piece of timber and escaped from the others in the dark, crawling out through a coal grating.
That's what took place, sir.
They've taken in a partner, and a dangerous one at that. I think I guess who it is. Eh, Watson?
You mean...
Precisely. We can imagine, can we not, what their meeting was like?
Before we go into anything else, Bassick, I want to refer to Davidson.
I've made a note of him myself, Professor. He's holding back money.
Something like 600 short on that last haul, isn't it?
Certainly as much as that.
Have him attended to. Cragen is the one to do it, and see that his disappearance is noticed. Have it spoken of. Now that finishes Davidson. Now, as to this Blaisdell matter, did you learn anything more?
The whole thing was a trap, set and baited by an expert.
But those letters and papers of instructions, you brought them back, or destroyed them, I trust?
I couldn't do it, Professor. Manning had disappeared and the papers are gone.
Gone? Sherlock Holmes again. He's got hold of between 20 and 30 papers and instructions in as many different jobs. And he's gradually completing chains of evidence. If we let him go on, they will reach to me as sure as the sun will rise. He's playing rather a dangerous game. Inspector Wilson tried it 7 years ago. Wilson is dead. 2 years later, Henderson took it up. We haven't heard anything of Henderson lately, eh?
Not a thing, Professor.
This Holmes is rather a talented man. But he doesn't know that there isn't a street in London that'll be safe for him if I whisper his name to Cragen. I might even make
him a little call myself, just for the satisfaction of it. Baker Street, isn't it, his place? Baker Street, eh?
Baker Street, Professor.
We could make it safe. We could make it absolutely secure for 3 streets each way. We've done it over and over again elsewhere. Police decoyed men in every doorway. Do this tonight in Baker Street at 9 o'clock. Call his attendants out on one pretext and another and keep them out. You understand? I'll see this Sherlock Holmes myself. I'll give him a chance for his life. If he declines to treat with me, I...
Basic here? Yes. Yes, I got your telegram, Prince, but I have an important matter on. You'll have to wait. Who? Sherlock Holmes, eh? Wait a moment, Prince. Here's something, Professor. Sid Prince has come over here over some job, and he says he's got Holmes fighting against him.
Eh? Well, ask him what it is, man. No, wait. Let him come here.
Here? But no one sees you, Professor. No one knows you. That has meant safety for years.
No one sees me now. You talk with him. I'll listen from the next room. This is your office. You understand? Your office. I'll be there.
Is that you, Prince? You'd better come through. Oh? What interest have they got? What's the name? He says there's two with him. A man and a woman named Larrabee. They won't consent to any interview unless they're present.
Send them in.
Prince, ask Barnes to come to the telephone. Barnes, those people with Prince, do they seem to be all right? Yes? Oh, very well. Send them through. Yes, here, you fool. Very well. I don't like this, sir.
You don't like this, I tell you. It's certain death. Unless we can settle with this man Holmes. Your office, you understand? Your office.
Ah. Oh. Come in. Now, Prince. I understand you to say that you've got something with Sherlock Holmes against you.
Yes, sir, we have.
Kindly let me have the particulars.
Jim and Madge Larrabee here have picked up a girl at Homburg, where her sister had been having a strong affair at the heart with a very high young foreign knob who promised to marry her. But the family stepped in and threw the whole thing down. He behaved very bad to her and had let himself out and written her letters and given her rings and tokens, you see. And there was photographs too. Now, as these various things showed how he deceived and betrayed her, it wouldn't look nice at all considering who the young man was and what high titles he was coming into. So when this girl up and dies of it all, these letters and things all fall into the hands of the sister, which is the one my friends here has been nursing all along.
Where have you had the girl, Mr. Larrabee?
We took a house up the Norrington Road.
How long have you been there?
2 years, the 14th of next month.
And those letters and other evidences of the young man's misconduct? When will they reach their full value?
It's now, don't you see? It's now. There's a marriage coming on and there's been offers, and the problem is to get the papers in our hands.
Where are they?
Why, the girl's got hold of them, sir.
We had a safe for her to keep them in, supposing that when the time came we could open it, but the lock was out of order, and we got Sid in to help us. He opened it last night, and the package containing the things was gone. She'd taken it out herself.
What did you do when you discovered this?
Do? I hadn't any more than got the box open, sir, and given one look at it when Sherlock Holmes rings the front doorbell.
There? At your house, Larrabee?
At my house.
You didn't get those letters?
He did get them, but he passed them back to the Faulkner girl.
Passed them back, eh? Well, what did that mean?
There's another thing that puzzles me. There was an accident below, in the kitchen. A lamp fell off the table and scattered burning oil about. The butler came running up, yelling fire. We went down there, and a few buckets of water put it out.
I have a suggestion to make.
Professor,
The first thing we must do is to get rid of your butler. Not discharge him. Get rid of him. Craigan for that. Today. As soon as it's dark. Send McTague with him. Mr. Larrabee will send the man into the cellar for something. They'll be ready for him there. Dalton's van will get the body to the river. It need not inconvenience you at all, Mrs. Larrabee. But there's something else we want. Have you seen those letters, the photographs, and whatever else there may be? Have you seen them? Do you know what they're like?
I have, sir. I've looked through them carefully several times.
You make me a counterfeit set of these things and tie them up so that they will look exactly like the package Sherlock Holmes held in his hand last night?
I could manage the letters, but the...
If you manage the letters, I'll send someone who can manage the rest. From your description. Bassett? That old German artist.
Schneider.
Precisely. Send Schneider to Mrs. Larrabee at 11. 10:15. That gives you 3/4 of an hour to reach home. I shall want that counterfeit packet at 11 tonight. 12 hours to make it.
It will be ready, sir.
Good. Bassick. Notify the Lascar that I may require the gas chamber at Stepney tonight.
The gas chamber?
Yes. And have Craigin and McTague there at 11:45. Mr. Larrabee, I shall want you to write a letter to Mr. Sherlock Holmes, which I shall dictate. And tonight I may require a little assistance from you both. Meet me here at 11.
This is all very well, sir. But you have said nothing about the business arrangements. I'm not sure that I...
You have no choice, Mr. Larrabee.
No choice?
No choice. I do what I please. It pleases me to take hold of this case.
But what about pleasing me?
I'm not so sure that I shall be able to do that as well. I will obtain the original letters from Miss Faulkner and negotiate them for much more than you could possibly obtain. In addition, you will have an opportunity to sell the counterfeit package to Holmes tonight for a good round sum. And the money obtained from both these sources shall be divided as follows. You will take 100%, and I, nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
But we cannot negotiate those letters until we know who they incriminate. Mr. Larrabee has not yet informed us.
Mr. Larrabee is wise in exercising caution. He values the keystone to his arch. But he will consent to let me know.
Professor Moriarty... That information we would like to give only to you.
Write the name on this card, then. This is an absolute certainty?
Absolute.
It means that you have a fortune. Had I known this, you should hardly have had such terms.
Oh, well... We don't object to a...
The arrangement is made, Mr. Larrabee. I bid you a good morning. Bassett, place your men at 9 tonight for Sherlock Holmes's house in Baker Street.
You'll go there yourself, sir?
I will go there myself. I shall give him a chance for his life, but...
But this meeting tonight at 12 to trap Holmes in the gas chamber in Swandam Lane.
If I fail in Baker Street, we'll trap him tonight in Swandam Lane. Either way I have him, Bassett. Either way.
You have been listening to The Napoleon of Crime, Part 1 of Sherlock Holmes, or The Strange Case of Miss Alice Faulkner, by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and William Gillette. Adapted for radio by Roger Johnson. You heard Jim Crozier as Sherlock Holmes, Dave Hawkes as Dr. Watson, and Cyril Bagshaw as Professor Moriarty, with Beth Walters as Madge Larrabee, Simon Thomas as James Larrabee, and Catherine Toakley as Alice Faulkner. Sidney Prince and Billy were played by Mark Preston, Foreman by Vince Webb, and Therese by Lindsay Lloyd. The play was recorded at Pigpen Studios for Hozzyprog Productions. Technical presentation was by John Rhodes and David Booth, and the producer was Roger Johnson. Don't miss Part 2, The Triumph of Sherlock Holmes.